Bill, how are you today?
Doing pretty good, Glenn. Pete, Fred, Coach, Steve.
Coach.
Good to be here.
Well, it's a nice win yesterday.
Sure interesting.
It was interesting because strange start. You get the ball, obviously, on the fumble on the kickoff, and looked very shaky on that first series. And then from that point on, the red zone offense seemed to be very good.
Right. We didn't get done what we wanted to get done on that first series. But, you know, we had some good runs down there, and that definitely helped us out, you know, being able to run the ball in the red area.
What do you think the line was on Brady being the first running back to get a touchdown on the ground against the Ravens?
Yeah, that's probably a pretty long shot.
So, obviously, he saw something. Must have been the space in the middle of it.
Right.
Because he doesn't audible that, or is that a pre-called play?
Both. Sometimes we check it. Other times we just call it.
So, if he comes to line, all of a sudden they move in, they audible out of it.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't want to run that play.
As strong as he is, you might want to run it.
Especially coming off.
So, but you started the ball with the fumble on what yard line was it, the 12?
Somewhere in there.
And starting off the beginning of the game against a team that
15.
Does a multitude of things, it just seems like it's hard to get going that quickly because this field's real short and they're close to the line of scrimmage. And how usually, as you progress, you get a feel for what they're doing.
Right. Well, we spread them out on the first play thinking that they might, you know, come after us and, you know, just try to send a big blitz on the first play after that kind of field position. So sometimes we can read those a little bit better when we're spread out, but that wasn't what they ended up doing. And you know, we threw an incomplete pass and then ran the ball on second down, didn't get much, and then come up on third down. So it wasn't obviously a good series.
Seemed like you put more pressure on the quarterback in this game. Was that by design based on what Baltimore gave you out there, or did you put a little bit more into the defense this week in allowing these guys, some of them young, kind of put together a lot of this defense side of the ball? Are you giving them a little bit more freedom?
You know, Glenn, it was a little bit more situational. There were certain things that they did that kind of triggered us to blitz, and that's when we came after them. We called some other blitzes, but there were, sometimes they jumped into certain formations that we had in our game plan to just audible to pressure. So that happened a few times too. So it was a combination of things. We probably would have, pressured a little bit anyway, but we got a few more called because of what they did.
How similar to this, the defense they run now, is it to last year's defense?
The Ravens?
Ravens.
Well, you know, we just played them last year in preseason, but, you know, going back to 2007, definitely not as exotic as what it was then. You know, I think they've toned it down a little bit.
What was the nature of the adjustment you made after the first drive with, I guess, Derek Mason had, six catches or so,
yeah.
And then held to one after that? Was there a specific adjustment, or was it just better play?
No, we went to a little more split safety coverage after that first drive. We played a lot of single high safety with Merriweather in the middle of the field. And that kind of lightened us a little bit outside, and then we went to some two-deep coverage where we had more half help over the top of both Mason and Clayton, whether they're on separate sides or the same sides. And that probably helped us get a little bit better coverage outside.
They didn't do anything you hadn't seen before on the opening series. Because other than that, I mean, you guys shut them down pretty effectively.
Well, they give us a lot of slot formation, which they usually do. That's a big thing for them. And they had their share of gadget plays, the dive option thing out of the shotgun, the unbalanced line, some empty formations. But I'd say overall that they threw the ball quicker than what they normally have been doing. They've been running a lot of play action passes, trying to get the ball down the field, getting some big chunks of yardage against Cleveland and in some of the previous games, they really didn't do as much of that against us as what we had seen in the first 3 weeks.
How many times
San Diego, they hit them down the field pretty good, but they threw a lot of shorter passes, you know, 6, 8, 10 yarders, and they didn't really hit those big chunks other than the third and long play.
How many times did they run the ball?
Did we run it?
What percentage of time did they run the ball?
They mixed it in there. I mean, that first drive was almost all passing. I think they only ran two or three runs in that first drive, and there was a couple penalties in there, but like 13 passes and something like that.
17 times total.
Yeah, because that surprised.
What was it? 17 total.
Yeah,
yeah.
It just seems like their MO is is power football.
Not this year. This year it's really been, you know, more to get the ball down the field. Yeah, they kind of have passed to set up the run more than they've run to, you know, set up the pass. And overall, you know, the running game wasn't a big problem for us. We missed some tackles, and I think we could have done a better job on it. But then, you know, it was the Rice play. That was, you know, that was a big chunk of it right there. And we just didn't do a good job. We weren't a great defense, and then didn't play it real well, and then missed a couple tackles. And instead of it being 15, it was 50. So there were a number of problems on that play that hit us.
Ty Warren and Mike Wright in particular seem to be stepping up their play. Is that evident in the way they're grading out too?
Absolutely. I thought Ty played really well. And he started off against Orr, and then when Gaither got hurt, then they flipped Orr over to the other side and brought in Yanda. But either way, Ty played very well. And, you know, of course, he made a big play at the end of the game in short yardage. But just generally in the running game, I thought he was real stout in there. That Jarvis did a good job starting off on Gaither. And then when Orr came over there, he did a good job on him too. And Mike Wright inside was active both in the passing game and in the running game. And so I thought our front, you know, played. They did a good job.
How would you grade out the secondary from week one to week four? They seemed to yesterday be very, very disruptive, and you've got some new people back there as well.
Well, we had our hands on more balls in this game than we have in any other game, and we finally got an interception, so that was broke the ice on that. I think the good thing about the pass defense this year has been we haven't given up big plays. You know, we haven't given up those 50 and 60 yarders and, you know, those big plays down the field that just break your back. You know, we didn't play as well on third down yesterday as we would like to, but, you know, we've had our moments on that. The previous couple weeks were good third down. Were productive for us on third down, you know, against the Jets and against Atlanta. So, you know, we just need to do a better job with our consistency in the red area on third down. And, you know, I think as long as we're competitive on those routes, you know, close to them and, you know, just swatting at the ball and grabbing the receivers if they catch them and getting our hands on a few. You know, we played against two real good quarterbacks the last 2 weeks, and they stuck some good throws in there. And even though the coverage was good, you know, they still hit them. But I think eventually that'll soften up a little bit. Not every quarterback will probably be as good as these two guys. And if the weather helps us out a little bit in passing game later towards the end of the season, that'll make it a little tougher to throw some of those routes, too. But, you know, we still got to cover them, but I think we're getting better.
You seem to have great quickness back there, but the one thing I think everybody worried about is putting new people back there, the familiarity with what they're doing. And as you just said, you haven't given up big plays. You finally got a pick yesterday, so you took one the other way. But is that something that you're looking at saying that's been a blessing here, or they're picking it up very, very quickly back there?
Yeah, well, they're working hard. They're picking it up quickly. And Brandon Merriweather's really been a big factor for us. You know, they've thrown the ball down the field, and he made several plays down there last year, early in the year. You know, thinking back to the San Francisco game and some of the earlier games last year as well. But he was very active yesterday, and a lot of balls don't go in the deep part of the field because he's back there, and it doesn't look good to the quarterback, and so it ends up going somewhere else. So that's part of him doing his job back there.
It seems like this defensive backfield breaks in the ball really quickly. You know, they're getting tackled. Is this as quick a bunch? It runs as well as any of the DBs you've had here in a while? I mean, all of them seem to be able to run well, very athletic. You know, a couple of guys jumped a mile in the air to tip the balls away from receivers. So they all seem to break on the ball, plant, and go really quickly.
I think it's a good group back there, Fred. We've had good competition in the preseason and in training camp. And we have, you know, pretty good receivers. And we have a good group of receivers. We have some bigger guys. We have some, you know, smaller, quicker guys. We have some fast guys. We have some very good technique route runners. So we've had to cover a lot of good receivers through the course of training camp and preseason. And I think that, you know, we've held up pretty competitively in against different types of guys, different types of passing games. And, you know, I feel good about that. Not that it couldn't get better, but, you know, we're pretty competitive there.
That play with Merriweather specifically was one, I think, at the end of the third quarter where he broke up Washington. He came all the way across the side of the field. It looked like Sanders – was Sanders supposed to be in coverage there? Because Merriweather looked like he saved the play.
No, we had a pressure on, and he, you know, he just broke on it and got there. But it was his own pressure, and he got a good break on the ball. And then the deep one in the second quarter, whatever it was, down there by the goal line where he came – came a long way to tip that ball away. That was a very good break on the ball by Brandon too. But Brandon's playing very well. Mm-hmm. He's playing aggressively. He's seeing things, maybe half a step quicker than he saw him last year, and he's got the confidence to pull the trigger, and that's how you make those plays.
On the fake field goal, Baker up on the line of scrimmage and not back. Was he supposed to be back? Or
no.
Was he supposed to be running off the field or giving the impression he was running off the field?
Yeah, he was going to he split out, and initially they didn't go with him. We're going to try to draw him out of their rush, and initially they didn't go with him, which we said if they didn't go with him, we were going to, throw it out there to him. It was fourth and five. So we really didn't need much for the first down there. And when they didn't shift out, we just didn't have good timing on the play. The ball was snapped, obviously, before Chris got set, and so –
He had to set for a second then, right?
Yeah, which he wasn't. And so they called that as a foul. If he had been off the line, then the motion would have been a problem. Right. But that really wasn't, we were trying to keep the wing there for field goal protection if we had to kick it. It just would have, detached one player from the rush.
You're lucky they called it. It was a first down.
Correct? It was a first down, yeah.
Some people disagree with that. Did you see it on film?
Oh, yeah, he definitely made the first down.
Don't back up, French.
They've been arguing this for a while.
No, because his feet were inbound. Well, no. He extended the ball.
Oh, no. He caught the ball and ran three or four steps with it.
What were they contesting, the actual catch or the spot?
They came over. But they look at all of it.
Right.
They came over, and I think at first they were talking about the catch because the ball did come out at the end of the play.
Right.
But he had already taken about three or four steps with it and reached the ball out past the – past the marker for the first down, and I think the ball was clearly past the marker. Then they pushed him out of bounds, and the ball came out, and I think that I'm not sure. I think they might have thought that he caught it, and then the ball came out a lot more quickly than it did. But he took, Chris took two, maybe three steps with the ball after he caught it, and then of course the mark was whether it was first down or not. So had it been short, then obviously, they would have declined the penalty and taken the ball there, and we wouldn't have gotten the field goal. So, but as it turned out, we did have the first down, and we were in motion, so it became fourth and 10 instead of third, fourth and five.
So the call was illegal motion.
Yes.
As opposed, we had a few people call about why illegal procedure stops the play. A whistle be blown, but illegal motion, you run the play.
Right. Well, because he was on the line of scrimmage, he had to be set. If he had been off the line of scrimmage, then he could have gone in motion, but we are on the line of scrimmage. And we were shifting them out.
Is that one of those plays though? It's kind of one and done. Like it's one of those you might not be able to run the rest of the season. You take one shot per year.
Well, I don't think it's the kind of thing you do every week. The idea of the play was just to shift them out to take somebody in the rush out of it and kind of distort the rush over there. And the one play where Walker got off on the short on the extra point, he was offside. But those guys, they do a good job. They got a good jump on those edge rushes. So. We just want to, kind of slow that down a little bit and make them think about it. And, maybe they would think we were running a fake and just kind of check out of the rush. But, we just didn't – it wasn't real cleanly executed.
Who threw the ball?
We got a
– Hanson didn't.
Yeah, Hanson. Yeah, Chris threw
it.
It was
– Hey, with –
He's going to practice his throw. It was. It just looked like he made the throw.
Did he get it in his hands? He got it in his hands.
Yeah, I think when he saw him out there, just like anything else, he got there by himself. You don't want to wing it over his head or, fire it in there at 90 miles an hour. You just want to get it to him and let him go.
It looked like he doesn't practice throwing.
And Suggs, but Suggs made a real good play. Suggs saw it and he didn't hesitate. He just ran out there and made the tackle. It was just a few inches short, but it was a heck of a play by Suggs.
Hey, let me ask you about the series with 5:09 left in the game. Your defense comes out and makes two great stops on that third down, then the fourth and short, made terrific stops. You take over the ball on the 45. Obviously, if you get it in the field goal territory, you kick it, you got a 9-point lead, and you got a 2-score lead. Ran the ball twice, then you got a third and five, and Brady overthrew
Welker
or whatever. And you didn't move much time off the clock either, so not much time came off the clock, and you didn't. What was the intention? That seemed to be a disappointing series right there, because if you pick up that first down, you're pretty much in control.
Yeah, well, that's what we were trying to do. As you said, we ran the ball on first down, then we ran on second down. We were kind of spread out on both downs. And they spread out with us, so we had a decent opportunity to run the ball, and we come up with third and four, third and five, whatever it was, and then we went to Welker. It looked like we had a step on Carr. We just didn't quite connect on the route, so that was that was it. I mean, you know, if we threw an incomplete pass on first or second down, then, you know, we would have taken almost no time off the clock.
Absolutely.
So, you know, had they come up there and, you know, given us some all-out blitz to try to get the ball back at that point, then, you know, we probably would have, you know, checked some kind of pass or, you know, something where we still want to run in there for no gain. I mean, I would have been disappointed if we had been sitting there at third and 10, you know, running there twice and get nothing. But, you know, we gained 5 yards, and, you know, we had a good chance to convert there. We just didn't, unfortunately, pick it up.
At what spot would you have kicked a field goal?
Well, I think that's, you know, that's a good question. What little wind there was with us in the fourth quarter toward the closed end away from the lighthouse. So, you know, I think distance, you know, probably wouldn't have been too much of a factor, but you still got to get through the upright. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, like to kick it under 40 yards. We could certainly go longer than that, you know, would just, you know, I think if it's fourth and one, fourth and two in a situation like that, then you really got to decide whether you want to kick a long field goal. And if you don't make it, give them the ball there on the, you know, in good field position on the 35, 40-yard line, whatever it is, versus if it's, you know, fourth and 16, well, then, you know, you might as well kick it. So there's some decision-making in there based on how far you've got to go there on fourth down and how good you feel about your fourth down plays.
I have to imagine you're pretty pleased with your offensive line's play overall.
They did a good job. Yeah, they did a good job. You know, unfortunately, we had a, you know, a couple bad plays in there, but overall, I thought they were very competitive. We had, you know, for the most part, pretty good time to throw. A couple of their sacks were really coverage sacks, or pressures were really coverage pressures. You know, they had us covered. It wasn't that we didn't block them long enough, but you know, Suggs got us once, and you know, I thought we had a chance in the running game. You know, that we, you know, for the most part, gave our backs, you know, a chance to, you know, to run. We had a couple plays there. We had one outside play where we really got knocked back and, you know, lost 4 or 5 yards. But I thought they blocked the screen pass as well, the slip screens and the screen to Fred after, you know, after the strip sack, you know, where they kind of had a little momentum going. And I thought that play got us, I don't want to say out of the hole, but, you know, took it from the 20 out to the 35 or whatever it was. And, you know, that was, that kind of quieted things down a little bit, you know, with the Ravens. So, you know, I thought they did a good job on some of those plays too.
Mm-hmm. Brady looked like he was very comfortable, obviously, and seemed like the more coordinated between receivers and him. You know, one time the corner comes right in his face, throws up near Moss is in the exact spot he's supposed to be. So they look like a little more coordination against a very good defense.
Well, I think we're, as a football team, I think we're getting a little better each week. I mean, we should be, you know, with all the practice and meetings and everything we're doing. So, I think that's, you know, it's coming along in every area, whether it be the passing game, the pass protection, the run defense, the coverage, the red area, you know, all those things. We keep working on them, and, you know, we didn't hit all of them, but we're, as you said, we're starting to do a little bit better, and it was against a very good defensive football team, too. So that, I think you got to take that into consideration when you can, you know, run the ball in against the Ravens and make some third downs, hit a couple big plays, you know, the seam route and the blitz adjustment there to Moss and, you know, Watson a couple times there, you know, seam, corner route, seam to Aiken. You know, when you can hit those kind of plays against the Ravens, that's, you know, that's good. I mean, they don't give up a lot of those.
Is this the best team you played? I mean, they seem very balanced. Special teams was good. Offensive game plan.
I think they're a good team. Yeah. I really do. I think they're a good team. I think they're going to win a lot of games. And, I mean, they've already won three, but I think they're going to win their share.
Is there any more to the Joey? We've been speculating all day about the Joey Galloway inactive spot yesterday. Anything more to that than you added yesterday at the press conference?
No, I don't think so.
Because you really covered it in depth yesterday.
Nothing more? Nothing more? Okay.
Is it as simple, though, as it just, did he just not fit into your plans against this particular team? And if you were playing another team, maybe he would have?
Well, it's just, you just can't take everybody to the game. We took three tight ends, and we took four backs, which is probably about what the norm is there, seven offensive linemen. I mean, so you can't cut there. You know, and then the rest of it's on the defensive side of the ball and in the kicking game. So, you know, Sam Aiken, he's definitely going to be at the game. You know, he's one of our best special teams players. And Moss is going to go, and Welker's going to go. And, you know, Welker hasn't played a lot the last couple weeks, so, you know, as kind of a guy in the slot, along with Wes, is, you know, is more Julian, and you know, Julian
makes
is another guy that's, you know, we you know, so if we could have carried another guy or two, you know, there's certainly all the players that we have that are healthy, we'd like to have Ben Jarvis, we'd like to have Joey, we'd like to have Ron Brace would like to have, you know, Brett Lock. Have all those guys that weren't active, but you just got to pick the ones you can go with.
When you make a decision like that, how much of it is based on the team that you're playing and what they do and what you think this specific player can do, whatever position he's playing, against that other team?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it, Glenn. Yeah, it changes from week to week. Sometimes, you know, with the offensive linemen, we normally take seven of the game. So whichever seven it is, that's what it is. But with your skill players, your tight ends, your receivers, your running backs, same thing defensively, you know, with your linebackers and your DBs, it's a combination of, you know, what subgroupings you think you're going to be in or what subgroupings you think they're going to be in, and then the kicking game. So, like defensively, if you're playing against a team that uses a lot of four receivers, then you're probably going to want all your corners. If you're playing against a team that doesn't, then maybe you're going to not want all your corners and try to get another player in the kicking game out of a linebacker or a safety or maybe an offensive skill player if that's what you want to do. So, you know, those are the decisions you got to make every week. And it absolutely has a lot to do with your game plan, the team that you're playing, and kind of how you expect the game to go.
All right, before we talk about Denver, rumors are out there, stories are out there about you signing Junior Seau. Any truth to that? And by the way, did you see how the Bull just took him out last week? Why wouldn't you sign the Bull?
Well, yeah, we might get him.
I'd get the Bull.
Yeah, he's asking for a lot in his contract.
I don't blame him.
So.
And you can eat him after too, which is good.
Yeah, we're going to go back and review those films and see how Junior looks and see whether we break him down.
You realize he was actually playing the clown though. He's the guy keeps him away from the the right away. But I saw the video, man. He got hammered.
Yeah,
would you run in there with the Bull?
He slipped too. He slipped, and then you saw the phone.
Well, I saw.
That's why I decided to bring it back.
I didn't study all of it yet, but I saw the highlights.
Part of the physical.
It was the technique. Yeah.
I'd slow it down, see if he's lost his step.
Does it feel funny bringing a player that's older than you? No, he's not that old.
So, any truth to any of those rumors about Junior Seau?
Well, you know, we'll look at all the players that are out there, and. You know, Junior has a long history with us, and we have a lot of respect for Junior. We'll see how it goes. We haven't done anything yet. Let's put it that way.
Some great genes.
The reason I bring that up is he was on with the station 3 weeks ago and said that he only thought he had six games in him and was talking more about the end of the season. Then he said, you know, tell Bill to call
me. So he can't count.
And whatever. Maybe that's the problem. The question we would have is why this earlier in the season. But if a guy like Junior Seau was here, how much would he actually be used per game, especially if you – had a healthy crew of linebackers. Would that play into it? His six games might be...
He's asking you to speculate.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about all that. I mean, to me, if a player's playing, he's playing, whether it's four games, six games, eight games, or 10 games, whatever it is, you know, that's what it is. So, I don't know. I haven't talked to Junior about that. I don't really know anything about the four-game, six-game, 10-game thing.
Somebody said he had a physical in here. Did he have a physical here? Or did the Bull have a physical?
He did have a physical.
Did have a physical.
He did have a physical.
All right, look. Has he changed in 20 years?
No.
It's amazing, isn't it?
No.
I think he colors his hair gray just to look older.
See,
I did it too.
we haven't done anything yet. So we'll.
All right.
Is it a possibility? Yes.
Tell us first.
He would have told you if he was going to tell you right now. I'm telling you, I think the Bull, you might want to go in that direction. All right, quick break, 90 seconds, and then we're back. We'll break down these Broncos. Undefeated, 4-0, Denver Broncos. We'll do that next with the coach. All right, back here on the Big Show. It's Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium with Fred, with Steve, with Pete, and with the coach, Bill Belichick. And this week, for the fifth week in a row, the New England Patriots will take on an undefeated opponent. Fifth week in a row.
Schedule makers.
It's the first week. It's a trick question, Fred, because the first week they're both
undefeated. Jets were never undefeated in my mind.
Well, they were undefeated. So let's talk a little bit about them. We'll get into the offense, and obviously we'll get into your previous offensive coordinator, who's the head coach. But tell us a little bit about the defense. They've given up 26 points in four games, Bill, 6.5 points per game. Now, they haven't played great quarterbacks yet.
Really?
Mike Nolan is the coach. What is he doing? 3-4, what are they basically doing?
Yeah, he's running a 3-4. Basically, they're running the same defense he ran in San Francisco. And they're playing very well. You know, they've got a very experienced secondary with Dawkins and, you know, Champ Bailey, Goodman, who they picked up from the Dolphins, along with Renato Hill. So they're very experienced back there. They've gotten some interceptions. They're kind of a ball-stripping team. They come into the pile and rip the ball out of the guy's hands, and they've caused a bunch of fumbles and turned the ball over. Played good in the red area, played pretty good on third down, and you know, they've done a decent job in the running game, putting teams in long yardage with some, you know, negative plays, holding penalties, things like that. They stun a little bit up front, and so they've caught some edges where those linemen have held them and, you know, come up first and 20, second and 18, stuff like that, and that's helped the third down defense. Dumerville is a good pass rusher. The kid Ayers from Tennessee, the number one pick, is also an outside pass rusher. They've gotten some plays there, and so they're active and they're fast.
But they do bend. You know, Dallas was bending them and pushing them out, but they, like I said, they keep coming. They converge on the ball real well. They gang tackle. But watching the game last night, it looked like Dallas, if they were any good at all at quarterback, they were muscling them out and they couldn't stop the run. They kind of abandoned. Do you think they abandoned the run a little early? I mean, the run a little early, Dallas.
Well, I think they tried to stay with it. They just couldn't get enough out of it. There were too many. They'd have some good plays, and then they would have a bad one, and then it's second and 11, and then it's incomplete, and now it's third and 11. That was the end of the drive. So they had a couple of negative runs, like I said, where Denver stunted in there, or, you know, brought Dawkins down, or, you know, something happened, and they didn't gain anything, and then they ended up in long yardage.
When you talk last year, you talk so much about Ed Reed and how he's always – there makes big plays. You've always got to be concerned as to where he is. Look at a corner like Bailey right now, and you know he's probably going to be manned up with probably Randy during the court. How do you stay away from a corner that is so good? And it's interesting because in the last two plays last night, looked like there were an open receiver on the left side, and Tony Romo elected to throw the ball into the area that the coverage was there with Champ Bailey, which amazed me.
Yeah.
And you've had experience in the past, obviously, we all have, with Champ Bailey. How do you stay away from a guy like that, especially if you've got one of your big receivers that's being picked up by him the whole game?
Right. Well, you know, Champ's a good corner, and like any corner, and certainly we saw this at Denver last year, without a good pass rush, I don't know if any corner can cover forever in this league, you know, against good receivers. Just too hard. Receivers and the quarterbacks are just too good. So, but you're right, those last couple plays he did have people open on the other side. Champ was on the single side, and I guess that's where he wanted to throw it, where there were, you know, where it was just one-on-one, but they weren't able to hit him. But he's very good. He's got great ball skills. He's quick. He's fast, and he's a little bit of a, like any good corner, you know, a little bit of a guesser. And when he guesses right, then that's trouble. And if he guesses wrong, he's got the ability, like unlike a lot of corners, to make up for it and recover. So that's the challenge of playing with him. But there are other players are good, too. I mean, it's, again, they've got a good pass rush, and there's nothing that helps a corner more than a good pass rush.
Is Kyle Orton a game-managing-type quarterback? Is that all he's capable, or is he better than that?
I think he's a little better than that, Steve. I think he does a good job not turning the ball over and makes good decisions. And certainly they trust him with a lot. He's got a, you know, good arm, and he can get the ball in there, and he's got good receivers.
No interceptions yet?
No. I don't think he's thrown one. Yeah.
A couple of close ones.
He's got a good receiving core. You know, of course, we know about Gaffney and Royal and Marshall and Stokely, and so, you know, he's got some guys to throw to, Scheffler. So they're a pretty talented group there, and he does a good job of finding the open guy and getting the ball to him. So They make you. You got to beat them. I mean, they're not going to give you the ball in the game on turnovers and dumb plays on defense and a kick game and stuff like that. They're gonna play sound. They play hard, and you're gonna have to go in there and beat them. You're gonna have to execute.
Who has the advantage familiarity? You or McDaniels? Teacher or student?
Yeah, I think that's really overrated.
We've been hearing it for half an hour.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll be getting it for another 6 days, but. Yeah. It's like when we play teams in our division. We know them. They know us. We know Denver. Denver knows us. We played them last year. We play them every year. And, of course, there's a lot of familiarity. But I think in the end it will come down to, you know, what happens Sunday afternoon. Who blocks, who tackles, who kicks, who passes, who catches, who gets open, who covers, who runs, who tackles. That's what it's going to be.
But it's kind of funny to say, does he have an advantage? He was the coordinator. Who do you think was the head coach giving him the information?
Could be worse. We could be talking about hugs and handshakes.
That's Pete.
That was a great handshake, by the way, yesterday.
Terrific.
With Harbaugh.
Almost a hug. Excellent. Excellent.
Well
that was,
done.
That was Pete's.
We have film of us hugging, so you can take
Pete's
it.
Pete's voted the best handshake
best
of the year.
Ever.
Of the year. Are they doing, has Josh changed anything? We hear so much about the offensive line and the way they block and the cutback running scheme. Are they doing anything different than they have done in the past?
Well, they're running the offense that we've seen here for the
same
last.
Same thing.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, they're running our offense. And not that they don't, you know, and that's very multiple. They change it up. Of course, Graham, you know, they have a good blocking tight end, Dan Graham, and they use him as they've done in the past. You know, when Shanahan was out there, they, you know, the running game kind of, he's a focal point of that.
Hochstein's starting for them too, isn't he?
Yeah, with Hamilton. Yeah. But I think when we watch the game, everybody will recognize, oh, you know, that we saw that play. We know that play.
Last year, Matt had one of his, I think it was kind of like his coming out game. I think it was right around this time last year, too, and you guys beat them up pretty good over here.
Are they
any different than last? I think it was 27-7. It was pretty good.
New coaching.
You guys 41-7.
41, yeah, you killed them last year here. But are they doing anything different this year than they did last year under Josh?
It's all different. Yeah, it's all different. Yeah, that was Shanahan's offense and all his own play and the boots and all that. And you know, Josh runs what we run. Mm-hmm. You know, the multiple receivers, some two tight ends. You know, all the running plays, the screens, all the plays that we run. That's what his offense is. Yeah. And defensively, there's really no comparison between their defense this year and what it was last year. They're much sounder. They don't give up a lot of big plays, which they did. And they're a much better tackling team. They're faster and they play better technique. They're a lot stouter.
So you can't get anything out of that film from last year's game at all, basically.
I think the quarterback's
not, you know. Other
but usually that's not the case.
No, that's right. Yeah, I would say this is a whole different. It's some of the same players, and you can look at some of the matchups of, you know, Jarvis against Clady and things like that. But as far as the plays that they run, no, it's completely different.
So basically they ran a lot of screens yesterday in that game against Dallas.
Yeah, well, they're a good screen team, and they have good backs, and they have good wide receivers that can run with the ball in their hands, so. They do. They run a bunch of screens.
How about Marino?
So basically, you could watch your own team from last year. And
well, sure.
or Fred, look in a mirror.
Yeah,
that'll work.
You could give him the Vulcan.
Yeah, we've seen those plays in practice all year. So
I know Sean Marino. What do you think of him? He's a guy that can catch, and they used him a little bit in that screen.
Right. You know, quick, tough kid, runs hard. You know, physical back, but he's got good skills. He's quick. He's athletic. He can make people miss. It's got a good combination of skills, you know, power, quickness, and speed.
Special teams?
Their special teams, you know, they're pretty solid. You know, they've got a bunch of athletic guys, you know, like Barrett and the linebacker, a kid from Arizona State. So they have some very good coverage players. You know, Prefer is the special teams coach. He was at Kansas City last year. And so, they're a good football team.
You find it difficult. I played up there, and I turned pink in five plays, so I look like D'Arcy.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Kinsey.
Yeah.
No, but some people it bothers a little bit more than others.
The altitude,
I mean,
the annual
used to go up early,
pressure.
Used to go up late, and get in and out of there quick.
I don't think it has any effect. I was there for a year, and I know from being in Denver, we didn't think it did, but it was something we always talked about because wanted the other teams to be thinking about it, come in early or, you know,
worked on me.
Oxygen and all this and that, and we just laughed about it. We didn't think it had anything to do. That was just it didn't really have very much effect at all. Now, I think, you know, when you get up into the 10, 12, 14,000 feet range, now that's a little different story, but at 5,000 feet, I think it's... Mm-hmm. I don't think it has much effect.
No. I always thought there was less oxygen when you were losing.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
there is.
Absolutely.
It's colder when you're losing. There's less oxygen when
since
you're losing.
Since we lost a lot.
It's hotter when you're losing.
Exactly right.
We were skiing up in Aspen, 12,000 exactly feet above sea level. I got off with my cigar and was out. I was 320. I went 10 feet and fell over. I'm like...
I don't remember when Miami had a couple of bad years. Anybody complaining about the heat down in Miami when they were bad for a couple of
right.
years, right?
That's right.
Yeah. When they're good. Lawrence Maroney is somebody that seems to be right now the guy that most of the fans are directing all of their attention to in a negative way. It's too bad because he had that great catch on the broken play yesterday, and yet it was called back on the holding call, or he would have had another 29 yards or whatever.
Yeah, we had two of them.
The first one
where he caught the ball and broke, made Ellerby miss and got about 20 yards on that, and then the, like you said, the broken play where on Light's holding penalty where – you know, I don't know, whatever it was, 30 yards or something.
29. It was a holding call. But you talked earlier in the season about working more with him in the passing game. Obviously, it's something he's doing well. Yet, once again, yesterday, we had numerous plays with negative yardage out there. What is the problem? Because we're seeing Sammy Morris run the ball effectively. Last week, we see Fred Taylor. I understand different defense. But is there an issue here with Lawrence? He just seems like... We've seen this in the past. He's teased this before. He's a better running back than right now the production we're seeing.
Yeah, well, I think some plays, you know, there wasn't a lot of room to run. There's other plays that he probably could have, gotten a little more out of, and I think you could say that about the other backs too, about Sammy, Kevin, Fred, that there were plays they ran well, and then there's other plays they probably could have, gotten a little bit more out of. And, I think we saw Lawrence have a couple really good plays, the two passes in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, where he had a little bit of space to work, and he made a lot of yards. So I think it's a combination of, us continuing to work hard on the running game and more importantly, getting whatever back has the ball, whether it's Lawrence, Fred, or Kevin, or Sammy, or Ben Jarvis, or whoever it is, get him in some space and let him run. And when we're able to do that, we've made a lot of yards.
When you're trying to break it outside on a team that flows really quickly because that team flows, sometimes better off just finding the hole and going and hitting it because that – team right. flows extremely well.
Yeah, well, a couple of those plays with Lawrence, but they came up with Fred too. With Suggs, he's really disruptive in the running game, and he shows in there, and then you're having a cut off of him, and there's somebody else there, and so we just we got to do a better job on that. A lot of those spread out runs were with Kevin and Sammy in the game, and they were more of our passing look, and the defense walked out with us and create a little more space inside. So, some of Lawrence's runs were, kind of into, their bigger people with our bigger people, and there was just less run room there. But overall, we just got to do a better job in running game. That's the blockers, the runners, the coaches, everybody.
You want to ask the coach about whether Rodney Harrison hates Tom Brady and Tom Brady hates Rodney Harrison? You want to get into that? You're going to shy away from
last
that
night.
Overblown
story. No, just said
he was joking.
Brady should wear a dress.
Yeah, I don't think Rodney was serious about that.
And then really? Pete Allen.
Now do you believe us?
Fred thinks he was serious.
Fred went looking for him last night.
I said, I don't know what size dress it wear. I have nylons on. Whatever.
You're just hoping it was
tight. I wanted to make sure the whole ensemble matched.
He was just hoping it was a tight dress, that's all.
I was just a little shocked.
But how is that any different than what we've said all along, is that the way the game is being played right now, the NFL is protecting the quarterback. Why don't you just put a dress on him?
Not
right
wimping
now,
out. So the quarterback's not wimping out. It's the league that's a bunch of
he
wimps.
Was, but he,
and
he,
they're making this whole
Fred,
thing.
You know how we love you, and we can
well,
bust,
what kind of love
and we can,
is that?
And we can bust
feel
your
like
balls.
Like a cow getting shot.
And we can bust your balls on a regular basis. That's what that was. That was a guy, Harrison, who gets along with
how
Brady
well
and he can bust his ball. That's
I'm just saying the general public doesn't know inside jokes. You, because you're the inside man and you are a joke,
please.
Understands it.
you think they were joking, correct? Like we do. I mean, Brady said it today. Harrison said it today. They were both on the stage.
Freddie's worried about people in Idaho and Montana.
Freddie's worried about people in Nevada.
He's a man of the people.
My heart goes out to
Fred's
the
man of the people.
I'm a man, a red, white, and blue guy.
Yeah, I mean, I actually saw it when he said it.
Did you laugh?
That's the way I took it.
Laughed.
Yeah, I thought
it
was joking.
I was on the ground. I was hysterical on the ground.
I was laughing at the Chargers defense, and I was laughing at Rodney.
My first thing is to protect my fellow man.
But if they didn't know each other, if they were totally, then you'd say, wait a minute, that was a little strange. He does it to a Peyton Manning or something. Whoa, wait a minute. But the fact that they were good friends and they've both come out today and said it was the whole thing was a joke. I wouldn't get too worked up about it. All right, Bill, congratulations. Good luck.
Thanks, Coach.
Out in
Thank
Denver.
You, Glenn. All right,
I don't know what the situation is. I guess you'll be back. We'll probably talk to you on Monday, or we'll figure it out down,
we'll do
the,
it. All right.
Down the road. Have a great week.
Good luck. Thank
right,
you.
Quick
all
break,
right.
and we're back with
Steve
the
Pete, Fred,
right here
you.
On the Big Show.